Right then, your royal highnesses. Well, for what was once a mighty realm, things have gone pretty damn pear-shaped. We've managed to lose virtually the entire British Empire, and now all our brightest talent has left for America. Whose blood is not blue enough? Whose royal career is Hanover and out? You must demean the Queen and fling the King. It's time to vote off the weakest monarch. Alfred the Great, you voted for Ethelred the Unready. Why? A bit like leaving you in charge of the baking, was it? Henry VIII, you voted for your daughter, Queen Mary. What a loving father you are. Do you remember which wife you had her with? Well, at least you're safe. Anyone trying to behead you would be hacking through blubber for weeks. Oh, of course, where would we be without greensleeves? Edward VIII, you voted for yourself, no surprise there, while Mad King George III has voted for some yoghurt. All very edifying, but by far the most votes have gone to you, King John. Why on earth do you think that might be? Perhaps because you signed Magna Carta, which meant no one could have the fun of treating every other person like a piece of filth anymore. Except me, of course. You are the weakest monarch. Goodbye.
Oh, congratulations on your marriage, Pat. Who'd have believed you'd be heading up the aisle again after all the bad luck you've had with husbands in the past?
Tell me about it, Peggy. Pete Beale couldn't pronounce his R's. Brian Wicks knocked me about. Then Frank, he firebombed the car lot, went loony and ran off. Roy was impotent. I haven't had much judgment when it comes to picking husbands, Peggy. But all that's changed now. I've got a feeling, Peggy, this time. Things are really going to work out.
Seems like a nice boy. I like his helmet.
All right, Darth, love. Here, but you've got to promise me. You're not going to go over to the dark side and create a huge evil empire and enslave the galaxy like you did before.
People of Middle England, do not adjust your wirelesses. I've taken over this frequency on behalf of the military wing of the Women's Institute. Oh, yes. You thought we were all Victoria sponges and surgical stockings, didn't you? Well, as we showed the so-called Prime Minister last week, the WI has gone radical. I am here to put forward our list of demands. I've got it here, written on the back of a voucher for 20 pence off golden syrup.
Welcome to How to Throw an Egg, with me, Delia Smith. Now, all you're going to need are two very simple ingredients, a protester and a fat Yorkshireman. Oh, and an egg. An egg as well. Now, to do the job properly, you must just first make sure that everything is within arm's reach, particularly the face of the protester. Now, there's no need to crack the egg first, because with a bit of luck, that'll happen on impact. So take the egg and throw it, I find that overarm is best, at point-blank range at the head of the fatty. Now, you just have to take a little bit of care here, because several things could go wrong. There's a chance that the fat Yorkshireman might take the egg home and use it to make a pie. Or you might get punched in the face. And don't worry about clearing up if you spill some yolk on the man's jacket. He'll probably eat it, thinking it's some sort of cloth omelette.
Hello, Jim. That's right, I've been a very naughty girl. And I deserve a good spanking. Now, I'm sorry, Mr. Braithwaite, we don't have the chips, you'll have to have potato croquettes.
Oh, that's right, he was on the phone for ages. Then he gave a little gurgle and the line went dead. Then I started the washing up.
Now here's Thora Heard with the Radio 4 appeal.
Hello, loves. Now, I sit before you in the buff on behalf of a very worthwhile charity. I'll go on for a bit about how worthy it is and what a difference you can make, and all the while I'm as naked as the day I was born. Now, I know what you're thinking, but don't worry. Brian Perkins can't see my front garden from where he's sitting. Because it's completely obscured by my dairy arrangements. Please listen to Radio 4. Oh, please. Go on, loves, we're desperate.
Hello and welcome to Changing Rooms with me. Smiley Carol Smiley. Now, this week the team have travelled all the way to the planet of Gallifrey, to the home of the Doctor. So shall we go inside and see what our designer Linda Barker has been doing? Well, Doctor, the first thing we noticed was that it was considerably bigger in here than we thought from the outside. So we put in some extra walls to make maximum use of the space, which I think works really well. In the middle, there was a horrible 70s style up and downy thing, so we've ripped that out. And welcome to Changing Rooms with me, Carol Smiley. That's right, Prozac in human form. Hello and welcome to the ultimate makeover show, Charlie's Changing Ready, Steady, Garden, Can't Animal, Won't Animal Army, with me, Charlie. And these, my dimmocks. Well, Alan... My two friends here changed Alan Titchmarsh's living room into an Irish peat bog.
BBC Radio 4. I'm Charlotte Green. Put it away, I know what you're doing. Coming up next, Arthur Smith takes his expense account around the world, plunging the BBC to the edge of bankruptcy on a heady diet of sangria and Mexican prostitutes. That's for all of you tuned to FM. But that programme won't be for listeners on Longwave, as they'll all be too busy making clothes out of animal skins, pushing stones up hills, praying that their crops grow, and then pointing excitedly at the magic box that talks. And now a gale warning issued at 0700 hours. Gail Porter will be getting her tits out in FHM, moderate to poor. Esquire, surprisingly good. GQ, backlit, showers likely. Loaded, 5 or 6, good. Potential beaver shot later. Maxim, pointing north-northeast, moderate to fair. Angler's Weekly, strange. The Lancet, desperate for publicity, no change. And that's the end of the gale warning.